thanks a lot for the invitation. So the title of my talk is Rachel Hawkins Theory of Thought.
Is that the title of my talk?
It's
slight variation of this so-called Franklin distal arc when you just allow for rotations of those discs.
Dimensions, you need a little more than a dash, you need a base.
In dimensions, so. Mm-hmm. But don't make me draw a three dimensions. You will certainly fail. So. Similarly, one can play a similar game, not for embeddings of disks and disks, but for embeddings of disks and manifolds. Has an algebraic structure, namely it comes with right action of the framed little disks opera. I mean, the totality of all spaces for all k come with such a right action. Where n is the dimension of m, and how does it go? Well, suppose I have this configuration of disks. Now I want to insert in place of this circle 1, I want to insert a configuration in the unit disk, and I just compose these two maps. So I take this disk over here, glue it here using the map I have, and then I get the boundary.
How is it if it's framed, right? There is also some kind of whatever rotation loop acting for.
Yeah, but this is just a composition.
No, you did it before on the speed. You did a frame embeddings, and you can probably rotate framings, and this is some kind of right group action.
I mean, the action of the rotation group would have even without the frames. Mm-hmm. You can rotate the rotation, the configuration itself. Mm-hmm. But in the frame case, the rotation group is actually sitting inside this opera as a unit. Mm-hmm. So, the picture is a smaller configuration, and if you do it in here, you forget it in the boundary of this. And the rest of the configuration stays where it is.
So, is the dimension of disks related to the dimension of the manifold?
Yes. I mean, in principle, you can make the same definition where the disk is of smaller dimension, and it plays also an important role. But this is kind of the, how to say, primary case. The other case can be obtained. So, simply because you have an M which is smaller than N, then an LDM fits inside LDN, because you can just embed an M disk and an N disk in a natural way. And similar for the frame case as well. And so if you would put a smaller dimensional disk over here, it would be the same up to taking a homotopy quotient of the SO N minus M action that kind of forgets part of the frame. But I will not talk about it. But the object is important. Plays a role in certain applications. So we have two things. We have these operas, and we have the right action. So let's remark. The derivative at the origin of the mapping those so disks here agrees with the framing at that point. Thank you. what one should keep in mind is that there's a better version of these objects here when you take all these disks and shrink them to points. So you instead of considering finite disks, you only consider configuration spaces of points or configuration spaces of frame points in your metaphor. In order to retain the operator structure, of course, the disk is infinitely small, kind of not easy to see what happens when inserting another disk, right? It doesn't make sense. So you have to compactify. So at that point, you have to glue something else which allows for the operator structure to be retained. Plus, compactification or modification. In addition, if we work in the correct category, so either of co-products or co-modules, I will say a little more about it later, then we can study spaces of maps between these objects. So I will just say let's say X and Tor. So X would be like spaces of maps and very vaguely, sorry. And Tor would be a derived version of tensor product. So we want to also understand this object and then do homological algebra. Embedding calculus or manifold calculus. So the underlying philosophy is that if you have any operation acting on your manifold, it will, in particular, induce an action on these algebraic objects over here. And the idea is that this action, or a lot of this action, can be seen on the algebraic level. Let me be a little bit more specific. So embedding calculus is this. So one statement you can make is that if you have two vector space of embeddings from M to N, so it's like a generalized knot theory, this is shown to be VT equivalent, at least in codimension. Derived home space between configuration space points on N, and that on N, and here I want to put a small triangle, not discuss it, and we do the reduction you asked about in the beginning, that configuration space of the frame configurations on N a priori are module under a little bit subgraph of a higher dimension, so I will reduce it to the lower dimension action over here to make a statement. And this is taken in the category of right. The N modules where N is a dimension of N. So it means that the topological question, so essentially understanding knot theory, can be reduced to a certain degree to algebraic questions.
But not ordinary knot theory, right?
It's in codimension 3. So one problem here is it's a relatively modern area. So we do not in all cases have control about the relation between this side and this side. So where one has full control is only in codimension at least 3. In lower codimension one has a map from one side to the other, but which is believed to be to capture like most of the information at least. But there are no strong guarantees. So a little bit more in codimension 0. So in codimension 0 you can study diffeomorphism groups of the manifold M. And each diffeomorphism gives a automorphism, a homotopy automorphism of this configuration space. And people are very interested in these diffeomorphism groups. What you get from here is unfortunately no control. I cannot say it's a weak equivalence, but at least you get a what are people interested in when they study diffeomorphism groups? They're interested in mostly computing the cohomology. Computing the cohomology of the classical space of the group. And even if you have a map just in one direction, you have a map in the other direction here, that gives you a lot of information. I might discuss, much later I might discuss an example related to, if you take for M surfaces, so you want to understand mapping class group for moduli spaces of curves, and then you will see that at least the topological ring you will find in here potentially more, but yeah, anyway. Let's postpone it. So this is a topological application of X. So if you take derived home spaces, the topological version of Tor, this goes under the name of factorization in the So I will not say much about it, just that if you have, so this is a right EN module, if you have a left EN module, so EN algebra, you can take a derived tensor product, and then that you would call it a gradation homology. So, I already said it, so I'll go into the understanding the algebraic version, so understanding the algebraic of a class, namely the consideration space pointers. Differential forms in the operator space of points or anything called isomorphic, differential forms on the little disk operator or anything called isomorphic. And so main motivation for participants of this workshop is probably when we do that, so when we have such an understanding, we have a general definition of group and Pythagorean groups for all manifolds. So, for this workshop, motivation for
maybe first question, for which manifold is this the classical GRT?
Yeah, the classical GRT is a homotopy automorphism of the little disks opera. So this is the here for the homotopy automorphisms of a module, and the classical thing would be homotopy automorphism of the opera. Then you can go one step higher and take toroid, take higher general surfaces, or you can go to higher dimensions. Also, there's a slight slight matter of definition. So you see, if you have an algebra and it acts on a module, what you define as automorphisms of the module. There's two choices. Either you use the algebra fixed and you take automorphisms of the module, or you say an automorphism of the algebra, or this pair is an automorphism of A, together with if you have an automorphism of A, it will change the module structure, the modulus, like the pulled back module, plus an isomorphism between the pulled back module and the original module. So an automorphism here can either involve both objects or just one. Of course, if it involves both objects, then in particular the Z holds the automorphisms of the algebra. So here we have an operative module, the story is the same. And the definition I made here should mean just the automorphism of the module, keeping A fixed, but this is a matter of discussion. So I think, for example, Benjamin would rather fix the algebra. Okay.
So this would be like a kernel of a subgroup of the automorphisms of the pair. You yes. On both of the discoverer of the big object and we have to
yeah, but what is an associator? Associator is a little bit more tricky. So for in the standard case, an associator is a quasi-isomorphism between the operator chains of the little disk operator and its homology. So a formality morphism for the little disk operator. And the problem is that for general M, these things will not be formed. So there's a problem in saying that. Oh, I would like to say it's a formality morphism for the topic, but they're not formal in general. Even for surfaces, they're not formal. For surfaces, you can repair because at least they are co-formal, and you can say it's a co-formality morphism. But in general, that's also not true for general M. So what's a good definition of associator is a little bit open. So I will give you and offer the following. Okay, still it's a tool to find a good definition. But we look in the two-dimensional setting, at least, so the important feature of an associator is that it contains interesting numbers. And it contains interesting numbers because it bridges like the gap between two different sides of the world. So there's a Betti world and a Durand world. And in higher dimension, what we should mimic this. So we would say the associator would be some kind of automorphism between the chains operator of the corresponding object and the dual of the differential forms. So three chains of the gap between Betti and Durand world. Of course, typically what you can often do is you take a very small model on this side and then formality yeah, almost formality model to make a really good definition, a really good notion is a to-do. What would be the plan for today and for tomorrow? That's all, I think. So the first part is the introduction, that's almost all now. Second part would be recollections about the little disks of Rust, so how to build models, how to get this out. Those would be mostly recollections of well-known stuff, so the, for experienced people are probably bored. Then we will be models for the configuration space. Points. Paul will be some remarks about the framed case. So here I will mostly work in the unframed settings, so you get rid of framings, you have to assume that the manifold is parallelized. That is the simplest case, base case. And you have some remark about the framed case, okay, framed list of framed configuration spaces. And finally, I will discuss some examples, in particular the case of surfaces, where more or less everything can be understood. Of course, what I will not do, what I wanted to do, is to tell you how to actually do the underlying homotopy theory. So how to define homotopy automorphisms, homotopy derivations. It probably doesn't quite fit, and it's more I can get around it by giving you, when the time comes, an ad hoc definition of what I call pure key. You can just take this ad hoc definition and then you can more or less forget about the theoretic background. Not add much. And what I have to remark is that I'm talking about, I've already given a mini course, but I'm not sure if it's justified to give a mini course, because there's still many open problems here, many open questions that we cannot solve, So for the students, don't expect like a textbook mini course, everything is very clean and everything is known. So there will be a couple of conjectures. That's all good, because you need something to do, right? And you come back from the array. Maybe I can interest you in some problems. By the way, there's another motivation for looking at these objects. So my original motivation was to understand the real meaning of perturbative topological field theories. So you want to give topological counterparts of the quantities that they compute. So they compute invariants of manifolds, for example, and not have a precise understanding how strong are these manifolds. And essentially, the answer will be they will be as strong as this homotopy type of this configuration space. Shall we have a break, or is it not?
Yeah, sure. Would it be okay to run 10:30? If it fits your schedule, because there we have typically coffee break. So
okay, 10:30. Okay, great. So let us start this section 2. Little list of rods and results. So first of all, I should tell you about this a little bit better models for the configuration space of points that can be made into operands. So following notation of Kontsevich is typically denoted by FMN, or FMN frame for Palin magnifier. Because you do a compactification of the configuration space of points that resembles the earlier construction by Palin and McPherson, except that it's a little different. But McPherson considered the real case, and they did a blow-up. We don't take a blow-up, we take a modification only in the real setting. No, the Palin McPherson is the complex. K points on Rn, So this configuration space comes with a natural action of the group of translations and scaling. So you have an action of R greater than zero, similarly product is Rn. So this is by scaling. And this is by translation. And you can quotient out by scale and translation. For example, you can say we fix one point at the origin and one point at distance one by when we use up our mark freedom. And this space here, one compactifies. And the compactification can be described in two ways. So the simplest way to describe, but not the simplest way to work with, is that you would embed this space over here into a compact space and take its closure. Then it will automatically be compact. And the compact space here you can choose is you will take a product over all pairs. And for each pair, you have one copy of Sn minus 1. And the logic here is that you may compare I and j to a sphere like this. You just take the distance vector between I and j and you normalize it. And you, in a way, you remember the relative angles between all points. And actually, that was considered the first definition, but it gives kind of the wrong answer. And one has to do something more. One sums over all the distinct triples, I, j, k of numbers, and then for each such triple, one loops in a copy of RP2, which remembers the ratio of the distances between these points. So there are three distances between points x, I, x, j, and x, k, I can consider. So I minus x, j, x, j minus x, k, and x, I minus x, k. And they can be considered as homogeneous coordinates on RP2. So here, you have a compact space, and you take the closure of the limit of that space in that compact space. And that will give you a complexification.
How do you judge that like the product of spheres is not good enough?
It's not embedding, you see, because it's almost embedding, but then suppose all points are collinear, right? Then there's nothing that would remember such a configuration. All points are on one line. And then all projections to the sphere would be either the north or the south pole. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that would remember the relative distance of those points. So that was actually considered kind of was very clever over this problem and just defined it like this before. That also has an and plays an important role. And just this feature that for the special configurations is not distinguished points plays a role in right topology, and so the kind of wrong definition became known as a conservative operator later. But what we will, like we have to take this factor as well, otherwise this will not be a little bit better definition is maybe I will not give a definition, I will just draw some pictures for you how this space looks. So here you have Rn. And then general configuration looks like this. And then what can happen is that a couple of points approach each other. And when they approach each other, you will remember the relative rates of approach in the distances and in the relative orientation. So at the boundary, so for example, if all these points collapse to this point, kind of magnify what happens at this boundary, and the boundary strata looks again like a copy of the original space. So again, you will have configuration of points, and again, in that boundary strata, for example, a couple of points can collapse near that point here, and form another strata, and simultaneously close to that point maybe, and you will have more points. So you have a tree-like structure in your space. And here it's also easy to see what the operatic composition is. The operatic composition is just moving in this tree. So you see if you have a, let's say this is point one, and you want to take a composition with some other configuration, what you just do is you go to the corresponding boundary structure, and you do this configuration as a boundary. So this is again a topological operator, which you can show is homotopy to the Lillibis topic. There's also a framed version. The framed version is obtained simply by adding a frame at each point. So one way to write this is FMN cert SN, where the cert means that if I take the K array operation here, that should be F and then K cross SON is K. So at every one of the points you just add one frame. And then when you insert, you will rotate according to this frame before moving. And it's not hard to guess that the same game can actually play for a manifold this way as well. So, and the same manifold, and the resulting space I will call FMM or FMM frame. So point there is the manifold, and then physical point would be obtained by doing boundary strata, so at each point here, a couple of points can collapse, and then you remember how they collapse. Remember the relative weight. So what is known about these little disks as well? The easiest thing you can ask for is the cohomology. And there will only consider the case n greater than equal to 2 for simplicity. If n is equal to 1, then you just get the associative operator ready to draw in cohomologically. So I just consider this. Relatively explicitly described. So homology over field of characteristic 0, the for all purposes are always state line. For the homology actually you can take any field, it doesn't matter. Any rings of the answer will be the same. But anyway, I take R for all purposes. find the following algebra. So An of k, that is an algebra generated by symbols omega ij, where ij are between 1 and n. And let's say I and j are distinct, so I is not j. And on this algebra, I impose certain relations. Relations that I impose as follows. First of all, omega I and j is plus or minus omega j I. I can exchange these indices. Secondly, all these elements here, the square to zero, I forgot to say, so the degree of omega ij is n minus 1. Omega ij squared to zero, and then we have one more complicated condition, an old identity, omega ij, omega jk plus omega jk. I think I have a small mistake in my notes regarding the sign and the ordering of these indices over here. Let me mount. I know you already consider it a two-dimensional case, then it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's two-dimensional case, even dimension.
No.
Yeah, but I think I messed up the ordering of these indices. There's one of both of them are IK and not KI, but I'm sorry for that. I think I have it wrong in my notes like this.
Looks good in terms of cyclicity.
But cyclicity is not the important thing. The important thing is that it's an operator. So from that you can derive it, but I think I will not dare to derive signs in front of the audience. So this is an algebra.
So it's associative, not the algebra.
Yes, it's a commutative algebra. Very commutative. Here, on the right, the pullback by IJ,
tiny guys. N minus 1, and this is a projection to the sphere by forgetting all but 2 points.
Thank you.
So what one does is by induction on the arity.
Easy to describe.
In general in higher dimensions, so the difference between dimension 2 and higher dimensions is that in dimension 2, more or less everything inside is a k by 1 space, and all you know can be extracted from the fundamental group. In higher dimensions, everything inside, well, not everything, but most things are simply connected, and you have no information in the fundamental group that you can use, rather the information lives higher up. A little bit of a vague answer to your question.
You can say for the students that there is a nice survey on this topic by Dave Sinha. People want to learn about that, and there's a nice survey by Dave Sinha. I don't know the title. Homology of little disco clouds, something like that.
Yes. But his proof is a little bit more complicated than this, although it follows along the same line. But he wants to use, I think, more general
reasons. But there, on the other hand, there are pictures, and he shows what the chronology class, the shape of the chronology class is.